I saw in my dream that as they went on, Faithful happened to look to one side and saw a man whose name is Talkative walking beside them, but at some distance away, for here it was wide enough for them all to walk side by side. He was a tall man and more handsome at a distance than up close. To this man Faithful addressed himself in this manner,
Friend, where are you going? To the heavenly country?
I am going to that place, said Talkative.
Good. Then I hope we may have your company. I will gladly be your companion.
Come on, then, and let us travel together and spend our time discussing things that are profitable. I enjoy talking about worthwhile matters, and I am glad that I have met with those who are inclined the same way, for to tell you the truth, there are only a few who care to spend their time in this manner as they travel. Most choose instead to argue about things that don't matter, and that troubles me.
That is indeed regretful, said Faithful, for what is more worthy of the use of the tongue and mouth of men on earth than the things of the God of heaven?
I like you, for your words are full of conviction. And I will add, what is more pleasant or more profitable than to talk about the things of God? That is, if a man takes any delight in things that are wonderful. For instance, if a man enjoys talking about the history or the mystery of things, or if a man loves to talk about miracles, wonders, or signs, where will he find anything more wonderful than that which is recorded in the Holy Scriptures?
That is true, said Faithful, but our intention should be to profit from such things in our conversation.
That is just what I said, for to talk of such things is most profitable, and by doing so a man may gain knowledge of many things, such as the vanity of earthly things and the benefit of things above, but more particularly, by this a man may learn the necessity of the new birth, the insufficiency of his works, the need of Christ's righteousness, and so forth. By talking, a man may learn what it is to repent, to believe, to pray, to suffer, or the like. He may also learn the great promises and consolations of the gospel to his own comfort. Further, by this a man may learn to refute false opinions, to confirm the truth, and to instruct the ignorant.
I am glad to hear these things from you, said Faithful.
Sadly, the lack of such talk is why so few understand the need for faith and the necessity of a work of grace in their soul in order to obtain eternal life. Instead, they ignorantly live by the works of the law, which cannot lead a man to the kingdom of heaven.
But heavenly knowledge of these matters is the gift of God. No man can attain these things by human means, or only by talking about them.
All this I know very well. For a man can receive nothing unless it is given him from heaven. All is of grace, not of works. I could give you 100 scriptures that confirm this.
Well then, what shall we talk about?
Whatever you want. I will talk of things heavenly, or things earthly, things moral, or things evangelical, things sacred, or things profane, things past, or things to come, things foreign, or things at home, things essential, or things circumstantial, provided that all this is done to our profit.
Now Faithful began to marvel at what he heard, and stepping to Christian, who had been walking all this time by himself, he said softly, What a brave companion we have! Surely this man will make an excellent pilgrim. At this Christian smiled a little and said, This man with whom you are so taken could, with his tongue, deceive 20 who don't know him.
Do you know him, then?
Know him, yes. Better than he knows himself.
Who is he?
His name is Talkative, and he lives in our town, said Christian. I'm surprised that you don't know him. But our town is large. Whose son is he? And where does he live?
He is the son of Saywell, and lives in Pratting Row. All who are acquainted with him know him by the name of Talkative, and despite his fine tongue, he is a contemptible fellow.
Well, he seems to be a very handsome man.
He seems so to those who are not thoroughly acquainted with him, for he is best abroad. Near home he is ugly. Your saying that he is a handsome man brings to mind what I have observed in the work of artists, whose paintings look best at a distance, while up close they are unpleasing.
I think you are joking with me. God forbid that I should jest about such a matter, or that I should accuse anyone falsely. I will tell you more about him.
This man enjoys any company and any talk. As he talks with you now, so will he talk when he is in the tavern, and the more he drinks, the more he talks. Religion has no place in his heart, or in his home, or his behavior. He is all talk, and his religion is his tongue."
"You don't say? Then I have been greatly deceived by this man."
"Deceived? You may be sure of it. Remember the proverb, they say and do not. But the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. He talks of prayer, of repentance, of faith, and of the new birth. But he only talks of them. I've been with his family, and have observed him both at home and abroad, and I know that what I say of him is the truth. His house is as empty of religion as the white of an egg is of flavor. There is neither prayer there, nor sign of repentance for sin. Even the animals serve God far better than he. For those who know him, he brings shame and reproach to the name of the Lord. In that end of the town where he lives, he gives religion a bad name. The folks who know him say, he's a saint abroad and a devil at home. Certainly his poor family finds it so. He is rude and abusive and so unreasonable with his servants that they never know how to approach him. Men that have any dealings with him say it is better to deal with a Turk than with him, for they will receive fairer treatment at their hands. This talkative, if it is possible, will outdo them in defrauding, deceiving, and getting the better of others by unscrupulous means. Besides, he brings up his sons to act the same way, and if he finds in any of them a foolish timidness, for that is what he calls the tender conscience, he calls them fools and blockheads and will not employ them or recommend them to others. I believe that his wicked life has caused many to stumble and fall, and that he will, if God does not prevent it, cause the ruin of many more."
"Well, my brother," said Faithful, "I have to believe you, not only because you say you know him, but also because you look at men as a Christian. Also, I do not believe you say these things out of malice, but because they are true. Had I known him no better than you do, I probably would have thought the same of him as you did at first. And had I heard these things about him only from those who are enemies of religion, I would have thought it slander, something that often falls from bad men's mouths about good men's names and professions. But from my own knowledge I can prove he is guilty of all these things and more. Besides, good men are ashamed of him. They can neither call him brother nor friend. The very sound of his name makes them blush if they know him."
"Well," said Faithful, "I see that saying and doing are two different things, and from here on I shall be careful to observe this distinction."
"They are two different things indeed," said Christian, "and are as diverse as the soul in the body. For as the body without the soul is but a dead carcass, so are words without deeds. The soul of religion is the practical part. Pure religion, and undefiled before God and the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. This, talkative is not aware of. He thinks that hearing and saying will make a good Christian, and thus he deceives his own soul. Hearing is but the sowing of the seed. Talking does not prove that the heart and life are fruitful. And let us rest assured that at that day of judgment, men shall be judged according to their fruits. It will not be said then, do you believe, but were you doers or talkers only? And they shall be judged accordingly. The end of the world can be compared to our harvest, and you know that at harvest men are interested in nothing but the fruit. Not that anything can be accepted that is not the result of faith. But I say this to show you how insignificant the profession of talkative will be at that time."
"This brings to mind the words of Moses when he described the beast that is clean," said Faithful. "It is one that has a split hoof and chews the cud, not one that only has a split hoof, or one that only chews the cud. The rabbit chews the cud, but is unclean because he does not have a split hoof. And this is what talkative resembles. He seeks knowledge by chewing upon the word, but he does not split from his sinful ways. So, like the rabbit, he is unclean."
For all I know, you have spoken the true gospel sense of those texts, said Christian. And I will add another thing. Paul calls some men, and those great talkers too, sounding brass and tinkling cymbals, that is, as he expounds in another place, things without life giving sound. Things without life are those things without the true faith and grace of the gospel, and consequently such things shall never enter the kingdom of heaven among those who are the children of life, even though they sound by their talk as if they were the tongue or voice of an angel. Well, I was not overly fond of his company before, said Faithful, but now I am truly sick of it. How can we get rid of him? Take my advice, said Christian, and do as I tell you, and you will find that he will soon be sick of your company too, unless God touches his heart and turns it. What would you have me do? Go to him and enter into serious discussion about the power of religion, and when he has agreed with you, for he will, then ask him point blank whether this power has been established in his heart, house, or behavior. Faithful stepped forward again and said to Talkative, How are you doing?
Well, thank you. I thought we would have talked a great deal by this time.
Well, if you will, we will go to it now. And since you left it with me to state the question, let it be this. How can you tell when the saving grace of God is in the heart of a man?
I see that our talk must be about the power of things. Well, it is a very good question, and I am willing to answer you. First, and in brief, when the grace of God is in the heart, it cries out against sin. Second,
wait, hold on. Let's consider one thing at a time. I think you should say instead that grace evidences itself by causing the soul to abhor its own sin.
Why, what difference is there between crying out against and abhorring sin?
Oh, a great deal. A man may cry out against sin as a general policy, but he cannot abhor it unless he has a godly hatred of it. I have heard many cry out against sin in the pulpit, who still live with it in the heart, home, and behavior. Joseph, Master's wife, cried out with a loud voice, as though she were very holy, but she would willingly have committed adultery with him. Some cry out against sin even as the mother playfully cries out against her child in her lap, calling her a naughty girl, and then begins hugging and kissing her. You lie in wait to catch me, I see. No, I just want to set things straight. Now, what is the second thing by which you would prove the existence of a work of grace in the heart?
Great knowledge of gospel mysteries.
This sign should have been first, but first or last, it is also false. For knowledge, great knowledge, of the mysteries of the gospel may be obtained. And yet there may be no work of grace in the soul. Yes, a man may have all knowledge, and still not be a child of God. Christ said, Do you know all these things? And the disciples answered, Yes. Then he added, Blessed are you if you do them. The blessing is not in the knowing, but in the doing. For the knowledge is not always accompanied by action, like the servant who knows what his master wants but does not do it. A man may have the knowledge of angels and still not be a Christian. Therefore your sign is not true. Indeed, to know is a thing that pleases talkers and boasters, but to do is that which pleases God. Not that the heart can be good without knowledge, for without that the heart is nothing. There is knowledge, and there is knowledge. Knowledge that knows about things, and knowledge that is accompanied with the grace of faith and love, which causes a man to do the will of God from the heart. The first of these will satisfy the talker, but the true Christian is not content without the other. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart.